Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 and your books to chapter 2. Then we're going to make some other chapter progress tonight. Hopefully. Ephesians chapter 4, and of course we've been going to this every week since we started, but I want to make sure that we keep this in mind. This book is actually, it's almost Ephesians chapter 4 just written out into book form and elaborate on more. Ephesians 4 is, I like to call it the church chapter, because it tells the church as a whole how we should operate and the parts that we play. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this class. Let your name be glorified. Let the anointing be upon every word spoken. Let the anointing be upon my words. Let the anointing be upon their ears and their hearts so they can receive, God. Holy Spirit, we ask you to enlighten these words, make them alive. If not, it's just ink on the paper. Give us something to hold on to so that we can put it into operation and draw closer to who you want us to be. We thank you for this school. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for his leadership. We thank you for the anointing that's on his life. We thank you for the unusual anointing that's on his life. We ask you to keep blessing him and keep strengthening him, because as he goes, so do we. And so we are connected to what you are calling him to do. And we are playing our part. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll do a little reading. Well, actually, we'll read through the chapter again. I do this every time, but faith comes by and hearing, so you have to hear it over and over again. Just when you think you got it, that's the time you need to hear it again. I like to call Ephesians chapter 4 the church chapter, because it tells all of us what we should be, the parts that we should play, how we should play them, what's the difference. It shows that there are differences, and it shows us what we should look like if we operate fully like the church should operate. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, a prisoner of the law, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Underline that, worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. With all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, underline unity. And we'll get to that a little bit in the book of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But in every one of us is given the grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is also the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come into the unity, underlying unity, of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'll say it again, unto the measure, you should underline it by now, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being in the past filling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, cleanness, and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. 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 Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, I suggest for the sake of you knowing your calling, you knowing your part, and you understanding that, we've read that chapter many times, but it takes sometimes reading something over and over again and meditating on it, and the Holy Spirit will breathe on a certain part and give you enlightenment on your part and give him enlightenment on what your connection is. I like when it says, walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. And walk worthy of the vocation where I'm called. Don't walk worthy of the vocation what you think is popular. All right. In church, and I gotta get in this chapter, but in church as usual, there's a lot of things that go on in church. A lot of churches start it because they think it's cool. A lot of churches start because they think it's the wave. Most people serve Jesus, and they do it because it's popular to do. Because most people on the block was doing it, so I'm going to do it. It becomes a fad. It becomes a fashion statement. Becomes something that's exciting to do because the wave, that's the wave that we call it now. That's the wave. It's got to be deeper than that. Once you want to start a church because you've seen a good church, got to be deeper than that. You will go hungry. Now listen to me. You go out there and start a church and the Lord has not breathed on it and you will go hungry. No, literally hungry. I'm not talking about spiritually hungry. No, you go hungry. Like you can't eat nothing. You'll go hungry, you go broke, you'll be busted, you mess your family up by doing something that God didn't call you to do. So walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. What did God call you to do? Whatever God called you to do will fit in place with the whole body function. This is when church becomes unusual. Church as usual is we all come in ministry school and now everybody want to be a pastor. Well, everybody in this room is not a pastor. Everybody in this room is not an evangelist. Everybody in this room is not a prophet or apostle. Everybody in this room is not a teacher. But every joint will supply and it should supply until we all come into the unity. In this book, we're going to read in a little bit and start talking about understanding the spirit of one man and function as one man. So chapter 2, and we'll do a little reading and we'll do a little underlining. I'm going to do my best not to veer off from what I want to do because I really want to get through chapter 2. We started it last week. This first line in chapter 2 in your book, it says, God is raising governing territorial epicenters across the nations. The first line in the next paragraph says, governing territorial churches are local churches that have become the epicenter and hub of divine activity in that region. Somebody really quick tell me what that means to you. Well, we talked about it last week when you said a governing territorial church, a local church that have become the epicenter of, and hub of divine activity in that region. Yes, ma'am. Go. Absolutely. Absolutely, in that region. So now we talk about governing territorial churches. It's a church that's set down in that region to open up heaven. You know, we go to the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher. If we keep that in order, heaven can open, and them angels can start walking up and down that ladder. All right? And I want to keep bringing it up to you so you understand what we're doing. We're not here to get religious. We're not called to get deep. We're not called to get emotional. That's not what we're called to do. We're not called. We may have a shout, but we're not called for that. All right. We may have a feeling. There's an emotion that comes along with the Holy Spirit moving. We may have a feeling, but we're not called for a feeling. And a lot of times the scripture says having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So you look like you're walking in the spirit and you look like you're making a move, but you're denying the power because you end up denying the purpose of it, the root purpose of it. So now it's a governing territorial church, the church that's dropped down in a region, and God has called that church to open up heaven in that region and to change that whole entire region. It's a hub of activity in the military bases, your hub. Everybody come in, they refuel their jets, they refuel the tanks, they eat, they shower, do that, and they're going back out to duty. It's a hub, all right? Y'all get what I'm saying? So it's a governing territorial church. Jump down to the next paragraph, the first line. It says, these local churches are built in such a way to facilitate the move of God on earth. To facilitate the move of God on earth. I'm going to say it again. To facilitate the move of God on earth. God wants to do something on earth. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as it is. So that means God, there's something that Jesus said to pray like this. So there's something that God wants to do on earth and make it like heaven, but he's going to need a governing church in that area to facilitate that. One of the things I understand about God, and I learned this a long time ago, and this is why we had to be in place, I have to understand us as the church as a whole, what the church building is, and then who we are as the church. We have to be on course. We have to understand what Ephesians 4 says, and we have to know what part we're playing, because God can't get nothing done in this earth without us. God could not show up here and start. You say, well, God, why you don't show? He cannot show up here and show his face because the world will die. You know, he had to show Moses the end part. Because you can't look upon the glory of God's face and live. You couldn't make it. So now God can't come down here and be like, boom, I'm God. Listen to me. This is what I'm telling y'all to do. Because he'll wipe the church, wipe the whole earth out. What about those that ain't saved? Do y'all get me? So now God has to use you and I to get what he wants to get done on this earth. Now, this makes ministry and this makes my calling more important, and it makes me need to focus and pray more and really see what God is saying to me about what he's calling me to do. I'm not just be playing church, but actually be the church. It makes it more important to me now because I realize that God can't do nothing unless he's doing it through me. Are y'all with me? So God needs us to open up to his will so that his kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants to use us. He wants to involve us into his plan. Now, whether God can use you or not is determined by what you decide to do. Whether God has to use you or skip over you is determined by how much you are connected to him and how much your focus is on what his divine way is. Are y'all with me? Now, if God doesn't use you, it's your fault he don't use you. Either you ain't listening or you got your mind so much set on what you want to do that God can't show you what he wants to do. Now, that's one of the primary problems in church. That's one of the primary problems with preachers. Can I say that? With preachers there's a chronic problem in preacherdom. And this, I know ain't no word, but in preacherhood, there's a chronic problem. They want to do what they want to do. Ego is terrible in preacherdom. Everybody think they right. Everybody want to do what they want to do. Nobody wants to submit. Nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to be rebuked. And so ego becomes a problem. And now I've set my mind on who I am, the anointing, that my anointing. No, it's not your anointing. That's an anointing that God is allowing you to operate in. All of it is his. I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. You know, ain't nothing good about you but him, right? All right, hold on. I just want to remind, no matter how anointed you get, I don't care if you stand up in church this Sunday and do like this and the whole church fall, you know there ain't nothing but God. Ain't nothing good about you but God. That's it. And so everything that's good about me is surrounded around him. All right, so now I have no time to get over on my own ego. I have no time to get over on my own agenda. I have no time to be trying to build my kingdom. You don't have a kingdom. You're only playing a part in the kingdom. All right? Now understand something. It's a very humbling statement when you say ain't nothing good about me but God. It brings you down to earth. You ever said that to you before? Like, say it to yourself. I get up in the morning, I say, God, listen, I understand. Listen, God, I understand ain't nothing good about me but you. You know what, God, you know what that does? I feel anointed right now saying it. You know what that does? When you get up, if you can get up, and someone may take a little work, I understand. But if you can get up and say, listen, God, today, listen, ain't nothing good about me but you. I'm clear about that already, all right? You know, talk to God like that. See, I'll be all, Father, in the name. No, listen. Talk to the Lord and say, God, listen, I understand. I know that you put a calling on my life, but it's still yours. I offer this gift up to you every day. Ain't nothing good about me but you. So now anything that I do good today, you're going to have to operate through me to get it done. And when you start, I'm trying to help you as a minister. Ministry is ahead of you. Let me help you. When you go into it that way, with that mindset, then you'll be able to walk in that anointing like Apostle walk in. You hear Apostle talking about it, he'll say, man, I'm not too educated. You ever heard him say that before? He said, I ain't got a good hold on the English dialect. You ever heard him say that? He said, I don't know this and that. He said, but I know God and I love God. Sometimes when I'm weak, he's strong. All right, it doesn't mean I have to make myself weak because you're already weak. But when the realization comes in you and you start to realize that regardless if God called you to be an apostle or God called you to be a prophet, that the only good thing about you is him. That mindset will allow God to use you like never before. That mindset will allow the church to be unusual. Because the only unusual thing about the church is God. That's the only thing that's cutting edge. We come to church yesterday, the only thing that's cutting edge about church is God being there. If he wasn't there, we'd just be making noise. And so in your life and in your ministry and in what you're doing, the only thing that's going to make it cutting edge is the fact that I'm just yielding to God. So now I got to realize that it's not all about me. And I got to realize that I need to find out what's my part in this whole church thing. God, what you saying to me about it? I ain't got, and then some of y'all might have it in your minds already what you think God wants you to do. I understand. And it's really easy to look in Christianity and see a lot of things that look good and look popular and look great. But listen, you got to play your part. If God told you to be a teacher, you be the most anointed teacher that you can be. Don't be looking over nobody else's field trying to be what they are if God ain't called you there. Because now we're getting over to every joint supplier. But if my knee says that it wants to be a shoulder, well, how are we going to walk? If my eye wants to be an ear, well, how am I going to see on this side? It's functioning. And it's been dysfunctional because everybody in everybody else's lane. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody doing this, you want to do this, what's popular? He over there, Bishop such, such. They were prophets over there. No. Calm down and find out what God is calling you to do. God will use you in that area. So the global churches are built in such a way to facilitate the move of God. We are supposed to facilitate God's move. So whatever God wants to do in the earth is going to come through the church first. Y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Whatever God wants to do on this earth realm is going to come through the church first. Because we are the ones that he's called to use. It's going to come through the church first. But now for him to come through the church first and really be effective, we got to stop diluting the power. Stop putting our own agendas in the power. Stop putting our own understanding in the power. Stop putting our own ways in the power, because we start to cut the power and people become offended when they should be transformed. Amen. See, the only thing offensive, if the only thing good about you is God, right? Well, the only offensive thing about you is you. See the love of God. Love. Oh, don't make me get on this, Lord Jesus. All right, sir. Love is not offensive. Love is the greatest motivator. Love makes you want to come to it. Love. I said this before. I do things, and this is just me, but I play interviews in my head sometimes. I'd be like, what if such and such called me to the interview and they start asking questions, or what if, you know, you had a chance to speak to all these different people that may not have been in church. What would you say? And I just said, if anybody, and I said it, but I know God was saying it to me, he was saying it through me, but if anybody could ever get a grip or really experience the love of God, they will be compelled to change. They will be compelled to be like him. They will not be compelled to be a church member. They'll just be compelled to love him more and find out more about him. But they've been offended because of how the church has been. And so the love of God is trying to emanate, but because there's so much self involved, it cloaks the true power. And now people become offended, although the love is trying to get through. Are y'all with me? they become offended. So the only offensive thing about is you. Self. Self is offensive. Oh, no, come on, let me tell you. When you are on your own will, it becomes offensive to people. I don't want to come to Christ with the way you acting. I don't want to come to Christ with the way you judging me. I don't want to come to Christ the way you ain't come to Christ yet. I'm trying to come to Christ. You look like you ain't come to Christ yet. Now, I ain't talking about sin. I'm just talking about you don't look like you're living a Christ-like. Christ walk in the room, things start changing. Are y'all with me? I said it last week. I don't know if I said it in this class, but I'll say it again. I heard the pastor say this the other day. Messed me up. He said, it can become contagious. Y'all remember this? It can become contagious if it's not contaminated. And self is the contamination. So now, the church, epicenter, governing territory churches. So God has put us down here to facilitate the move of God. So that means he's entrusted us as the church to facilitate. What does it mean to facilitate something? You come on, your own words. I don't want to deep. I ain't looking for a Webster definition, huh? Cause to happen, to direct something. Like when you have a facility, you hold that. You hold in the it holds the event. We need a facility for this event, right? Right. All right. So it causes it to happen. It directs it. It maneuvers it. All right. So he wants us to facilitate the move of God on earth. In other words, he wants us to receive it in and then make it happen other places. Or better yet, let it happen other places through us. That's what he wants. But if we cut it off with our ways and what we want to be done and what we think our thoughts are, you know, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, right? It's the Bible, right? But if we put our thoughts in and our attitudes and our ways and our feelings, then it starts to cut off the power. And then the people become offended. People should be beating the church doors down. We should have to be like, hold on, time out. Y'all coming in too fast. That's what the church really should look like. But it don't look like that, dude. Hey, amen. Come on. It don't look nothing close to that, huh? We out there trying to reel them in. We doing a little fast and all the different kind of stuff and trying to bribe them in and everything. No, it shouldn't be that. The love is a magnet. If we really let the love of God do what it wants to do, and we really be the church like it should do, it's a magnet. It's one of those things that you can't stay away from. Like, you just want to be around. When you experience the love of God, you just want to get there again. You ain't think about nothing until I can get right there again. Right? That's what love is supposed to do. So now if we take this self off, the opposite of love is self. Not that you say opposite of love is hate. No, the opposite of love is self. And if we move self out the way, then God will allow us to facilitate. You know, it's not really hard. It's not a very, very hard thing to get self out the way, but you just got to focus on it and concentrate on it. And you got to make it important to you. And you got to realize that you ain't nothing. Yeah, whenever I say that in a meeting, you know, or a class, you know, it always hits hard and it gets quiet because, you know, don't tell me I ain't nothing. The truth is, who exactly are you without God? You ever thought about it? You know, who, what, okay, me minus God equals what? Like, I'd be a shell of a person. Me minus the anointing coming upon me. Well, I don't want to, Moses said, he said, Lord, if you ain't going up there with me, I don't want to go. If your presence ain't going with me, don't send me up there. Don't tell me to go up there and make me go up there if you ain't going to send your presence with me. Why? Because without your presence, I ain't nothing. So it's not that hard to get self out the way, but I got to tell myself on a regular, you know, and it's not no, you know, you're talking about your self-esteem, your self-confidence. Well, all I hear is self. You keep your self-esteem. Well, all I hear is self. What about the love esteem? What about the God esteem, right? What is God saying about me? You know, when you tell yourself that you're pretty, get over all that stuff. You ain't nothing without him. Remind yourself. Say it. I want to hear you say it with some conviction.
I am nothing without him.
I ain't nothing without you. I look at him and say, Lord, I ain't nothing. And what he starts doing when he hit it, if you mean it. Hold on, if you mean it. Because if we get to this church, hold on, church unusual church, regular church, church unusual, regular church, we got these phrases that we like to say. Y'all know, blessed and highly favored, and we just, you know, hallelujah, worship the Lord. You know the ones that we do. Y'all know it. Come on. Y'all know it. No, you got to mean that. You got to mean that when you say it. So when you say it, you got to mean it, because if you don't, you know, God know, right? You know, he know whether you mean it or not, right? You know, God really knows if you, it's funny how people try to play games with God. God, I'll do whatever you tell me to do, but in the back of your mind, I really want to do this. He know. And that's why he can't use you sometimes. God is not going to use you until you get all of you out the way. He'll have grace on you. Let you participate a little bit. But you think that you think something going on. He ain't going to send you to hell. But is that really the goal? For what you think God called you to do? For what you think the calling for the church is? For what you think ministry is about? Is that the goal to not be sent to hell? Is that the goal to just be okay with God? Or is the dream bigger than that? Is what I expect from God bigger than I can understand? Because if it don't get that big, you need to go back and take another dip. You need to go back and say another prayer. Because it's a lot bigger than that. We should be changing more than we're changing. But once we realize, I thank God for once we realize that we get self out the way. We get what I think out the way. We get my feelings out the way. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. He said, pray after this manner. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not mine, none of that. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. And then the churches can facilitate the move of God. God ain't moving through your flesh. God is not moving through your selfishness. God is not going to move through your agenda. Flip over to the next page, page 24. You see the part that says set the mission accurately. That's why I like it. It's walk worthy of the vocation you are called. And it starts talking about gifts in a minute in Ephesians chapter 4. Then it even says, you know, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I like when it gets down. It's a beautiful chapter if you really read it and study it. You will really understand what's going on. Then it talks about every joint supply until the effectual working of every part. Set the mission accurately. The church, unusual, must set its mission accurately from the start and inception. Listen to this. Without this feature, we will attract the wrong crowd and pursue the wrong people. You see, the next line says, if we know that our mission is to be a military base, we won't be accepting patients and the sick. Huh? Why? Because you're not built for that. Your base has not been set up. Your mission has not been accurately set up for that. The purpose of having a model church, and I would consider Word Life a model church, is to see how the power, how the leadership and how the power of God can operate through that, and to be able to translate that to what God has called you to do. See, God didn't call you to be just like Apostle. All right, now he wants you to be like Apostle. Listen to what I'm saying. Catch what I'm saying. He wants you to be like Apostle in his pursuit of God. And it's a pursuit of the anointing and the power of being able to go through him without self. But God may have called you to another thing, another set of people. Setting the mission accurately. Not a copycat mission. Come on. There's a bunch of, Brother Hagin told, they asked Brother Hagin one time, they said, Brother Hagin, why are your anointing so different than the rest of these people? He said, why are you speaking and the power hit people in the heart? Why are you speaking and the other people say the same thing you're saying and they don't really get, he said, because they're echo, I'm a voice. Wow. Not a copycat. Not an off-brand. Y'all see me? Not saying what you want to do because something looks good to you. You know, people look on me, man, I'm going to be pastor church, boy. Woo, woo. I want to be a pastor, boy, because I get up. You see all the pastor can do? Y'all don't know what a pastor go through. It was easy. It's easy. It's easy to go to a job when you're dealing with machines all day because you press a button and do exactly what you want to do. Pop, stop. Pop, go. Pop, warm up. You ever use a microwave before? You put a minute and 10 seconds, it's going to get a minute and 10 seconds, and that's a wrap. You put a little bit more time, it's going to do that. You put a little less time, it's going to do exactly that, and ding when it's time to go, right? Dealing with people is a whole other ball game. It's a whole other ball game. They're not going to do what you tell them to do. They're not gonna be acting like you know. Let me be. All right, you better love these people. I'm trying to tell you ahead of time. And then y'all say, "I won't be a pastor." Okay. All right. Yeah, you gotta have another anointing. It's gonna have to be there. Playing your part, knowing the part you not being a copycat, not being an echo, being a voice, knowing what God originally called you to do. You can glean from an anointing, you can receive an anointing, but God is gonna put that. That you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call. Alright. Walk worthy, Troy, of the vocation wherewith you're called. So now whatever vocation that you were called to, you walk worthy of that. Now you can connect to anointing, but the anointing of God will come through and connect to the vocation wherewith you are called and make it prosper. Do y'all get that? The camera right now is hooked up to an electrical plug. Alright? These lights are hooked up to electricity. The little TV back there hooked up to electricity. I got my phone in the other room hooked up to a charger, hooked up to electricity. Different functioning, but all from that same power. Huh? Yes, sir. And it just so happened that all of them connected in this building. You see what I'm saying? So stop trying to be a lamp if you ain't no lamp. Everybody can't be a lamp. If everything a lamp, who gonna show the lamp? Everybody a lamp, who gonna be the camera? You gotta walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then the anointing will come down and touch you, the mission that God has put on the inside of you and make that thing prosper. Do you see? But you gotta set the mission accurately. Set the mission accurately. Set the mission accurately. Now, this goes for ministry. This does not go just for being a pastor or just starting a church, but this goes for ministry. Set the mission accurately from the, and I like to say it's from the inception, from the beginning. Because if you build something wrong from the beginning, most likely you're going to have to tear it down. The Bible talks about to tear down and destroy and tear it down and the root up and then the plant and the build. Most likely, if you build wrong, I know people build these foundations, build these buildings. If you build a faulty foundation and you do not do it right from the bottom up, you got to tear it down. You're never going to get it right. It's always going to be rickety. It's always going to be broke up. My thing has always been, I'm not trying to waste no time. I don't get none of that back. You get friends back, you can remake money, but you can't get no time back. So now from inception, I'm trying to see how am I supposed to build this thing. And I set my mission accurately. God, who you done called me to? What kind of people you called me to minister to? You see what I'm saying? And then when you set the mission accurately, it says, without this feature, we will attract the wrong crowd and pursue the wrong people. Jump down a paragraph. And it starts out saying, many churches. Y'all see that? Yes, many churches are failing because they are attracting the wrong crowd. They're keeping the people who in the future will prevent them from performing their God-given assignment. When churches become aware of their assignment, they can then choose the right people and train them for the fulfillment of this assignment. You know, then we're gonna talk about in a minute. Church has been off. And it's going to say it in a second, so I'll just be redundant. But church has been off. Church has been people-driven. Meet these people needs. No. Church is for heaven to earth, facilitation. You know, if we really facilitate heaven and earth, then the people's needs going to get met. Yeah. How you going to see God looking at the people all the time? If you always looking to your left and right trying to see what they want, sometimes people don't know what they want. Majority of people that walk up in this church on a Sunday morning don't know what they need. They know what they're feeling. And they know what they think or meet the need that they think they have. But a lot of times it's something bigger than that, and somebody got to go deeper than that and go closer to God to really get to the root of what's going on. But you can't see what God is doing if you keep looking. You say, my church, well, I'm supposed to come in and walk in and ignore the people. No, I ain't say that. Don't be crazy. I ain't say come in and just don't pay attention. I understand you gotta care for people, but this is not built just for people ministry. Huh? The church has been changed to being so people driven that they can't even hear God sometimes. They hear the need of the people so much. You think God don't know? You think you got to listen to him because he can't hear him? The audacity of us. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Well, I got to talk to the people and let me run it through my spirit. No. Let me run it through my spirit. No. It's not about running through your spirit. Ain't no spirit in you but the spirit of God, right? Right. So now I got to see what God is saying so I can be a territorial church that'll bring heaven to earth when heaven gets hit. What is it like in heaven? Ain't no need. Ain't no misunderstanding. Ain't no confusion. So if we can facilitate that to happen, then the needs of the people, cause and effect, the needs of the people will be met. It's not a people driven by people. You be driven by people, you'll never do what God wants you to do. Most of the reason the church can't make progress now is because people are running it. People feel a certain way. People don't want the pastor to say this. People don't want praise and worship to go like this. People won't start right now. People won't stop right now. People don't want to give this. People don't want to make this move. And because the people won't do that, now God can't do what he want to do. Many churches are failing because they're attracting the wrong crowd. They're keeping people who in the future will prevent them from forming their given assignment. Churches become aware of their assignment. They can choose the right people and train them for the fulfillment of this assignment. We are training them. You see that? Train them for the fulfillment of this assignment. We are not here just to patch people up. Remember we were talking about Jacob? He coming and he laid down in a place? No, it's not just for a resting place. It should be a special place where God is moving. And when God moves, it starts to train you to be more like the move. Y'all see that? So it's not here. Yeah, I understand they might walk in. He said, what about the people that's hurting? I understand they may walk in there hurting. Love. I get it. Love them. But you love them better by letting God work through you. Do y'all see me? Not you talking to your advice. Sometimes people don't need your advice. Sometimes your advice is an advice. You know what a vice is? Come on, you know what a vice is? You ain't doing nothing but adding a vice to them. We need a revelation. They need to see something. To train them to fulfill this assignment. The people are coming into the church. They're supposed to be trained so that we can take the church to the world. Supposed to be training so we can take the church to the world, right? Supposed to be training, all right? The next paragraph says, it may be shocking to know that pastors and church pioneering ministers gather everyone and anyone into their congregation. Then they try to find employment and fulfillment for all. They use them as they come and give them an opportunity to do anything they can and are gracious to do. The church then takes on the responsibility to provide the help they need. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
They can only make use of whatever is there and whoever is available. We do not need thousands to do what God wants us to do in a town or city. If we do have thousands, then the work has to be accelerated and effectively done in record time. In other words, now he's going to start talking about going into everybody wants to have a mega church. We'll talk about that a little bit. And everybody wants the church to look like what they see all the time. But God ain't called everybody for that. All right? God wants you to be effective. Pastor Gideon in the Bible. I like to call him Pastor Gideon. You know, we talk about Gideon's army. I like to call him Pastor Gideon, though. Because Pastor Gideon had a 32,000 membership church. Church was popping. Had four services on Sunday. Had to turn some people away. Had them numbers, boy. It's nothing we got a problem with in church, too, these numbers. But yeah, these numbers. These numbers get us like, we want to get a big church. What do you want a big church for? Oh, absolutely. Because you won't see a lot of people. You won't see how many people following you. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on. Come on. That's what it was about. We got to break this stuff down, man. We got to get out this old church. This that old church mentality that want to get, you know, if I get about 500 members, I'll be all right. Why are you going to be all right? That's the truth, man. I'm trying to tell y'all. Listen, let me tell you something. Can I take y'all behind the curtain a little bit? I done talked to some of these preachers. And I've been in some of these pastors' meetings, they talk a little different when they're not around the congregation. They talk when they get around each other. You know a little bit, the preachers talk a little different to each other, the pastors. You know, and they play little games sometimes, and they be like, man, listen, I guess such is over there when, you know, they used to do that to the apostle. They try to bring him over there to get him to try to pick up an offering for him. Trying to prostitute him. They play this game. It's about more about their kingdom. Apostolic Strategies, the book talks about that. But us not trying to build our own kingdom because we don't have none. So he plays games. So if I get, you know, I get about 500 people, I'll be all right. Because now it look like you anointed. Now, I don't have anything. I don't have no problem with big numbers. I don't have a problem with big numbers or little numbers. It's not the numbers. It's the intention that I have an issue with. Now, if you're just trying to, you just want to grow your church, what do you want to grow your church for? Are you trying to validate some kind of shortcoming on the inside of you that God should be filling anyway? If there's some kind of insecurity or insufficiency on the inside of you that you won't let God fill, so you feel like if you get 500 or 600 people, they're clapping in church and that'll build your ego? Most of the time, that's what it's about. Most of the time, people want a big meeting because they want to build their ego and don't feel like they're somebody. You got to know you're somebody already. You only know you somebody by God being somebody in you. You got to know God, huh? So most of that is just to try to prove something to somebody else. When we should be studying to show ourselves approved, I ain't got to prove nothing to you. You can like me or you cannot like me. You can like what I'm saying and you can not like what I'm saying. But as long as I'm lined up with God, and long as I'm seeking what he's saying, that's all that matters. Y'all can stump out this room right now. I don't know how many of y'all are here. Y'all can stump out and be like, I don't like the class no more, and be mad and be fussing with each other and start writing letters, whatever. Y'all can do what y'all want. I don't care. Because it ain't about you. Do you get what I'm saying? It's not about you. Apostle was talking the other day. He said, look, all y'all, I don't care. He said, y'all can feel how y'all want to feel about what I'm saying right now. The Lord done told me that's it. You either get in, get out, or get run over. He said, it just might be y'all, a few people here at the altar next Sunday, and I'm going to preach to y'all. Yes. Pastor Gideon, 32,000 members strong. Lord told him, go out there. People come to fight. And you feel all right. You feel all right if you go on the wall and you got 32,000 with you. You got 32,000 of your friends coming. We all got swords. We all right. We don't need to really pray about that because it's 32,000 of us. Right? Yeah. And Lord tell you to tell them, whoever's scared, to go back. And like 19,000 left? Church membership. You done dropped 32,000 to how many went back? I don't know exactly. Y'all know how many numbers went back the first time. Y'all don't know? I don't know either. There's a bunch of them. Church dropped off magnificently. Now you done built this big facility. Now you only feel in that middle section. How you feel now? How you feel about your ministry now? Would you go get discouraged and be crying on the weekend? You gonna feel a little different about coming to church this Sunday? How you feel? How'd it make you feel when thousands leave? It ain't about them. But it'll make you feel bad if you made it about them at the beginning. And if you go to ministry, you can't make it about them people. The same people that screaming, Lord, 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 will be the same people that scream, crucify. Y'all saw it with Jesus, didn't you? Yeah. The same one that say, Lord, 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 you are the Son of God, are the same one that say, crucify him and kill him, are the same mouths. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen over and over in ministry. They come and they say this, say this. I'm with you, say the end. I didn't know the end was next week. Oh, so Sunday was the end? So now you done dropped off. Then you think, cool, all right, Lord, we done purged it. You finally build yourself up. You shake yourself off. All right, we got together, Lord. I know they wasn't supposed to be here, no way. So we all right. Let's go back to church. We're going to put the curtains in so the church sanctuary don't look as, you know. We're going to put some curtains in so it look like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all know how I go to make me feel a little better about my ego so I don't feel like I'm preaching all these empty chairs. And then he tell you, go back again, take them to that water. Now you're going to see which ones are already, who are paying attention, who are trained. Take them to that water because the rest of them cowards. We're going to see how many of them committed, how many just ready to go. And you go take them to the water. Now, he say, now see all the ones that are lapping, that sitting there drinking. The ones that's lapping like a dog and looking around, keep them. Send the rest of them back. And now you went down from 32,000. Now you at 300 members. How'd that make you feel? Some of us are quit. Some won't turn the church in. Why you do that? Some of y'all say, Lord, I thought you were going to use me. Yeah. I must be in sin. So I question your own calling. Because it's based on them people. Don't nothing you should do be based on them people. Listen, you don't learn nothing else. Don't nothing you should do be based on them people. Shoot. Ain't nothing good about you. What make you think something good about all them people? If you're going to say that about yourself, you can never say that about them. All of us need help. And the help coming from the Lord. Don't do what you stuff based on them people. Now you broke down to 300. You don't think that's going to happen. You think you're about to die. All these armies are about to kill us. God didn't put us out here to die. And yet God uses 300 to end up winning a battle. It's not about them numbers. Not about your mega. You go in looking for a mega church. You know, sometimes people be praying for stuff. Then people in the Old Testament pray for a king. And God said, you don't need no king. But they said, no, we want one. And he gave them one and messed them all up. Well, how you going to train 32,000 people? You know, in order to train 32,000 people, you're probably going to need about 3,200 seasoned people that you can trust to help train that. Probably more than that. But do you have that? I know, just you and your family. What? Hold on, you gotta, because you're gonna kill yourself. Do y'all get what I'm saying? Didn't get through chapter 2. I was trying, yeah. That last line, I'll be done. The last sentence on that page, page 24. Y'all see it? It says, we must read it. Y'all get that? We must get them into the work, not meetings. There's a verse in Amos, and I'll leave with this. There's a verse in Amos, and you can read, I think it's Amos chapter 5. It's also verse 21, and God said, if you read it in the Message Bible, it's powerful. He said, I'm tired. He said, I'm tired of all your meetings and your conferences and all your ego-driven music. I'm tired of it. When the last time you talked to me? When last time you did it for me? Y'all see it? Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, ma'am. I got exams next week.